Hi, I'm Tim Z. Hernandez. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Today's guest is a longtime friend of mine. He's a brilliant poet and performer who I met in 1996 when I first began writing and living on the spoken word circuit in California. It was a beautiful period in time in which a wave of poetry and poets emerged, seeking community across the state and beyond. His name was Darren DeLeon, and I invited him to speak about that time, but also because he was a part of a very influential spoken word group from the Bay Area called Los Delicados. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. I can't believe that. And I thought that this would just be a great opportunity to reflect on what that whole scene and time period meant to me and to many writers who went on to do great things. I think of folks like playwright Paul Flores, journalist and poet Adolfo Guzman Lopez, poet Leticia Linares Hernandez, just a lot of great folks that came out of that time. So this interview is part one of what I'm calling the 90s wave of West Coast spoken word. Darren DeLeon is an award-winning poet, performer, and educator based in San Bernardino, California, formerly the host of KPFA's Radio 2050 in Berkeley. He's currently working on a contextual translation of The Clash's combat rock, which he calls Cumbia Combat, and he's a third part of the dynamic 90s spoken word group Los Delicados. Founded in 1996, Los Delicados were based in San Francisco and consisted of three core members, Darren DeLeon, Norman Zelaya, and Paul Flores. Described as the last poets meets Pérez Prado, they performed on stages across the country with their unique and explosive style of poetry. And I'm grateful to get a chance to speak with Darren DeLeon, and hopefully we can get Paul Flores on the line as well. And that's coming up right now, right here on Words on a Wire.
Stealing skis from the thrift town, I just wanna slalom down, I just wanna slalom down these inner city hills. Barrio Mission Park presente!
Fried neck bones and some home fries. Hilltop Malibu with a Redondo Latin soul combo. Willy Bobo
presente!
Por San Lázaro y Babalúa y canto. Llegó la brujería con décimas en arco iris. Reina de la música Guajira, Selena González,
presente. Of pinups and silver screen sueños, Hollywood could never handle a true diosa, María Félix.
Darren DeLeon, welcome to Words on a Wire, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, are you kidding? This has been an interview that has been in the making and in the hoping and in the dreaming for years. And I'm not even exaggerating that. You and I have a lot of history together, and I know that you've been someone who's influential to my own writing and my own performance a long time ago. And just to have you, seeing everything you're doing now, have you on the show, it's just a big honor.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on here. I mean, it's just an honor to know you, dude. I mean, to have known you for so long and to see you develop into the person you are. Very proud, man.
Cool, brother. Well, listen, man, we just got done hearing, right before I brought you in here, we just got done hearing a track off of the Delicados CD that you all cut back in the 90s. The track was called Presente, and that took me back. That track took me back, so influential, the piece, the group. I want to talk to you about Los Delicados. But first, how are you, man? How have you been?
You know, I've been good. I've been probably the last 20 years since we kind of met. We met probably a little bit more than 20 years ago. But in that time, 25 years, more than that. But I have left the Bay Area, relocated to Brooklyn, where I helped start a San Francisco mission taqueria called Brooklyn Burro. And then I moved back into Southern California, where I currently live in San Bernardino. And San Bernardino, California is back in my family's house. In fact, I'm speaking from my old bedroom, the closet of my old bedroom.
I mean, yeah, that's where you're originally from, right? Because when I met you, you were in San Francisco. I thought you were a San Francisco guy, but what did I know? But you're from San Bernardino.
Yeah, San Bernardino is it's a beautiful community, but it's kind of limited for what artistic endeavors that anyone would want to have. So you have to really go to the big city. And I was just I knew LA back and forth, and I figured, you know, let me just go somewhere that I don't really know. And that wound up being San Francisco, and it wound up being the very perfect choice for my situation.
And you went to attend a school there, right? The writing program, is that right?
Yeah, I went to the master's program in creative writing over at San Francisco State, and I finished a program there. And that's actually where I met, in San Francisco, that's where I met my other partners in Los Delicados, both yeah. Norman Zelaya and Paul Flores, who,
right.
Paul Flores, yeah.
And we're going to try and get Paul Flores on the line here in a little bit. I know that he's right now in New York doing, working on stuff around his play and things like that. I know he's been doing a lot of good things too. And we'll talk with him in a little while too. Hopefully he can give us a call. But you know what? Why don't you kick us off with one of your own poems right now, just so we can give the listeners a little taste of what you do.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'm going to share a poem from this project that I'm currently involved with called Project 1521. Which is a collective of writers who are working with two lead artists, the visual artist Sandy Rodriguez, who's a painter, who's been creating her own type of codices, and also the lead poet inside the program is Adolfo Guzman Lopez from the Taco Shop Poet Leader. Nice. So we've come together and we have these discussions and we have writing workshops, and we're all writing about the 500 years since the fall of the Aztec Empire. So what I did on my behalf is that, you know, I wrote about the issues of asylum and immigration law through what I was calling a translation of the British punk rock group The Clash, their album Combat Rock.
Right.
Even though it's written in English, what I was doing is putting more of a current context to it with issues of asylum and immigration law. So this first one is from a track on their album called Car Jamming, but I changed it to Border Jamming. And if you're familiar with that album, that song, you'll see a lot of, you'll hear the rhythm, the Joe Strummer rhythm in it. Tonight they stabbed all of my wounds and poured gasoline over my head. And who are you? Funky multinational caravan walking in the thousands. Bluetooth cumbia wireless headset. Entonces, un chamaco de Oaxaca, sister raped in the belly of the Jeep. He cries in sleepless tears. Now he knows narco kindness, smack cocaine hepatitis as a body's slashed head to toe. The machine gun in the closet, the nightmare of empty eyes, the safety of a crossing, blistered feet, still he rise. In earthquakes and wasted rivers, Facebook spreads like bees. The Utah Jazz are crystal white, Salt Lake City chopped at the knees. Smuggling is what smugglers smuggle. Billionaires upon the hill can slide their nose across the mirror. Wearing red hats of hate and tortured ignorance, once inside, the executive is frightened of diners and backfires. Nagarias fight for freedom. Vultures use the stat courts. Snakes cage up the babies in chain-link prison forts. While inside Iletas, below where two countries meet, the seekers grab at plastic bags filled with food to eat. This lack of empathy and kindness is intentional too. Now, shaky ports of entries claim the thirst for the oil of Venezuela. The Twitter feed is abuzz with pictures of mi abuela, with pictures of mi abuela. I thought I saw Iris Chacon, compas y hermanas, Iris Chacon in a border jam. And now, this is the movida that I gotta see, undocumented and proud of it.
Nice. Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Words on a Wire, and that was the voice of poet, writer, and educator, and organizer, and activist, Darren De Leon, based in San Bernardino, who we're speaking with today about his work, but also about the poetry group, the 90s, super poetry group, Los Delicados, who are from the Bay Area as well. 25 years, man, how did that happen?
Well, it actually, the origins of it go directly with you too. We met. We met at the summer arts program at Cal State Long Beach. a part of the Cal State summer art program. And in there, that was led by Juan Felipe Herrera, a friend of both of ours, and Margarita Luna Robles, and had a great rollout of different artists and stuff like that. But the one thing that had happened was that in the process, we started writing with our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that and also a West African drum sessions that we were doing daily, both of those together just kind of blew the lid off of my creativity that was all being bottled up. And as soon as I went through that program, I came back to San Francisco and I was like, oh my God, I got to do something with this. I always wanted to perform poetry at a very high level and use the physicality of it and the theatrical proportions of it, and also comedy and seriousness and political and all that kind of stuff. So I had met a writer who was from the Mission in San Francisco, a guy, Norman Zelaya, and we were doing open mics together all the time. And he had great stories about baseball that I loved. And so we had just this natural connection. So when I came back from that summer program, I wanted to do something. So he was like the first person that was close to me that I could collaborate with. So I grabbed him. I said, hey, man, we got to do something together. He's like, let's do a collective writing thing. So we had one computer, and we both sat down at the computer, and we figured out, what are we going to run? What are we going to write about? And he had the idea of like, let's write about our heroes. You know, and then we thought of this form, two lines of a description, the actual incantation of the person's name or the thing that inspired us that is our hero, and then the word presente, which is a Latin American tradition when evoking the spirits of people gone. But we wanted to evoke the spirits of everyone, of dead or alive. So we just initially just started banging keys right there on the spot. And we came up with about 60 or so of these presentes. And what we wanted to do was we had this urgency of immediacy that we wanted to get our work out. So instead of like going through the traditional channels and trying to get them published and stuff like that, we just took our writings. And the first reading that we did was in Union Square, San Francisco, on the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. And we just set up in the middle of this, you know, right across the street from Macy's, you know, this whole like Capitalist Park Union thing. And it's supposed to be about union, but it's really about consumption.
Yeah,
and we just started, and we just started spitting out our poems and just, you know, and just kind of loosened it up. And like, yeah, we, you know, we got it done and we did it at San Francisco State. And next thing you know, we started doing it whenever there was a significant writer or a cool reading that was going on. If it started at 7 o'clock, definitely at 6:30. We'd be out in front of the reading, doing our shows before the show. So we started calling it the show before the show.
Yeah.
And we would do that. We were doing that a couple of times a week. So after the first like 6 months, we had hundreds of performances already under our belt, mostly around the presentes that we were writing. Right. And then at one point, Paul Flores came into the writing program. And we invited him into the group because he had a background as a punk rock singer. And so, and he was also a tremendous writer also too.
Yeah.
And so we also had other members too. We had two female members that were members, but they went on to greater things. They went on to motherhood. They went on to greater things than that being a part of the drunken troupe of Los Delicados. We had Blanca Rodriguez and Magdalena Monterosa. And so those are Delhi's number 3 and 4. And then Paul came in as 5. So we had the good and the bad, and we needed the ugly. And that's when Paul came in.
And, you know, it was just an incredible group to watch, the energy, but the connection. To me, it was like, I had not seen anything that looked like that. Probably the closest thing at the time, now this is like 1996, 97, was that I could make sense of, was like something like, to me, it was like what Run DMC was doing, or even like the Beastie Boys. Like, you guys were like almost like a hip hop trio, but it was spoken word, you know, and you were like echoing each other and bouncing off of each other and playing. It was just a fantastic and a show. Norman Zelaya is a wonderful performer. You know, I got to give him his props. He's an incredible performer, dancer, and just an all-around good guy. I had him on our show for his book, Orlando and Other Stories. Last year he came on. He was a guest on our show, Words on the Wire. So you can check that out if you're fans of Norman as well. But Paul Flores, of course, doing a lot of wonderful plays now from coast to coast. He's a playwright and just doing some incredible things too. You know, you all went on to continue doing this work. But there was, you know, there was a moment I remember watching you all perform and thinking this is fantastic as spoken word, as poetry, as performance art even. But then you guys started to really expand on that because then you went on to record an album including the master percussionist Jimmy Biala from the Bay Area. And then it just blew up after that. I remember seeing you guys like do a whole play, like a 2-hour play or something. Like it was just, talk about that progression, how you guys evolved.
Well, we continue to use the creative process that we had developed in the first Presentes, where we had just one computer. We had three of us would sit inside the same room. We would take in the same type of food and other substances, and I can get into those ones, but we'd also look at either a piece of literature or a film that was had some type of common thread to it, to the idea or to the topic that we wanted to write about. And then we would just sit there and we'd start banging keys. And whenever one person stopped, another person would have to jump in. And we made sure that we understood that we're not married to our words or our lines, because someone can easily jump right into the middle of my line and expand it. And, you know, so just don't get, you know, caught up in that. It's just like, this is an explosion of creativity. And so with the elements of Afro-Cuban drumming, hip hop and dancing, and also just kind of like a altered spoken word type of almost punk rock type of singing and stuff like that. So yeah, Run DMC is really, really close as the Beastie Boys. Two, but and the creative process is one piece made out of three different voices. And since I was a Chicano from San Bernardino and Norman was, you know, Nagoya for San Francisco, and Paul was a Mexican Cuban from San Diego, right, we had different perspectives, historical perspectives that we could incorporate into our lyrics.
Different perspectives, different writing styles, different delivery styles. You know, that's really what made it dynamic. But there were also, and it was also a nod to even what Gil Scott-Heron was doing back then, you know.
Last Poets, yes.
Yeah, there were groups like that I remember listening to also, like on, I want to say CDs, you know. However, I don't remember back in the 90s how I was finding this. I know I was working for a music store, so I was able to find, like at the time, like I was trying to dig into the crates and look for some poetry groups that were coming out. All that was brand new to me. I mean, you know, I was a kid from Visalia, California, you know, where Main Street was called Main Street, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it was literally in the middle of the fields is where I grew up. So that stuff was so far. I wasn't in any city, you know, but meeting you in Long Beach and the rest of the guys there and going, I started to go to San Francisco quite a bit, hang out with you all just so I could get poetry. But to me, those were some of the, you know, early influences that later on I had not, like I said, I was not even exposed to those earlier cats until I had heard of those Delicados and watched you guys. Then I backtracked a little bit and then did my homework and was like, wow, there's a long lineage of this, you know, of these groups that were Mary Baraka, like stuff he was doing. I mean, yeah. Did any of those influence you guys early on?
Oh, of course. Especially for me personally and Mary Baraka, just like a humongous fan. Also the Last Poets and all the different groups that you know, the Welfare Poets and Taco Shop Poets and everyone who was kind of doing this collective stuff. But at a certain point, we would get asked to do like a 20-minute set at some type of rally or an event and stuff like that. And that was cool. So we could go there and we could just spit out one piece, do our presenting, spit out one piece, do a presenting, and we're out. So we started getting a thirst more for the stage. And so we took that process a little bit further, kind of answering the question you had asked before, was that we had these group pieces that we had written that were somewhere between 8 to 10 minutes long. And we decided that let's, you know, we got this process down. Let's start writing more poems around this kind of like this art that we're creating. And so at a certain point, being fans of Shakespeare that we were, because Shakespeare has these plays, but he builds poetry and like sonnets inside the play. We took a little bit opposite approach. We said, you know what, let's write these poems and let's build a play from these poems. Right. And that's where we came out with Guayabetas by the Pound, which is It was at that time, it was a futuristic look at a time where culture gets outlawed and the wearing of guayabetas becomes outlawed. Right. And so we, as delicados, we turn into smugglers and we go down to Mexico and we get guayabetas and we bring them back up into the United States. And that's what the premise of the play is. So everything inside there kind of deals with the cultural wars that were going on, gentrification that was going on. And we addressed all those issues. In fact, like I like to say is that I think we had the voice of the 2YK San Francisco mission at that point.
Yeah.
In the middle of gentrification.
That's right. Because I remember at the time, this was 1999, I think is when I saw you guys do that play. And because I was living in San Francisco at the time, working on Alicia then. And, you know, I remember you guys doing that play. And I was like, I mean, it was performance art, probably the closest thing at the time, like I said, aside from those hip hop groups I had known about, maybe the other closest thing that I could relate it to was what Guillermo Gomez Peña was doing, you know, a sort of really multimedia performance art, turning the space into art, not just sort of breaking through the fourth wall, you know, all of that. You guys were performing in that way. You know, you were performing, doing a performance that staged very well. And also you could do it in the middle of a street and, you know, in the middle of a park and still worked, you know, fantastically, incorporated everybody around them. There were other 90s groups I want to talk about too. And in fact, I was even thinking as I was preparing for this interview, I thought maybe I should dedicate my fall season to doing like a reflection on 90s spoken word groups. I think that's something I'm thinking about right now, because a lot of groups came to mind that were, for me, pretty influential. You know, Grito Serpentino, you know, Mark Pinante, what he was doing in San Jose, in La Quech, that all-female group, what they were doing in Los Angeles, man, was powerful stuff. Taco Shop Poets in San Diego, you mentioned the Welfare Poets, just a lot of groups like that in the 90s that to me, I was driving up and down Highway 99 and accessing, you know, wherever I could go to see these groups. I was going to LA to hang out with you guys. I go to San Francisco, I mean, I was like everywhere, you know, but it wasn't happening in the San Joaquin Valley where I was at the time. So I had to go there, but there are so many groups like that that started to blow up during that Y2K era. I mean, I don't know, how do you think that came about? How did that sort of just all happen around that same time? What do you think?
Well, I think that just as, you know, as Raza, that we live in the collective. When we think of things, we always think of in the collective, in the community, in the family, and mi otro yo. You know, it's always about more than just us. So when we felt that, you know, this creative element that was coming along, it's natural to kind of like, oh, you could do it yourself. Yeah, but it actually becomes more fruitful and more expansive, inclusive, and satisfying to have other folks going with you. Just imagine if you just had one Beastie Boy and that he was just called Beastie Boy. but you add these other personalities and traditions and writings into it, and voices and perspectives, and you get something much more richer with much more of a texture on it. And so it was just ripe for that moment. I think that as these communities were changing due to gentrification, I think there was this issue of survival. And a lot of people were just like, I can't survive by one. Right. I have to survive in a group. People have to help me out. So I know that for me, that helped a lot as far as understanding that I had to create Los Delicados. And I think for some of the other groups too, some of the same.
Right, right. And, you know, speaking about, you know, community and more and bringing in more people and more voices, I think we got Paul Flores here on the line. Paul, how you doing? Can you hear us?
What's up? I'm in New York City. How you guys doing?
Hey, man. It's good to see your face. Good to hear your voice.
Yes. I'm glad you're doing something that I didn't know about, Tim. Damn.
But now you know.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, we're actually on the way out of this interview right now, but I'm glad you chimed in. You know, we're just putting a little cap here on Los Delicados and the history of 90s spoken word groups. And Darren was just saying how all that was coming together because we were all seeking community at the time. What do you think about that?
I remember when we were traveling up and down the state, and it was always cool to see the different artists follow each other from one region to the next, because of that desire to want to be around other folks like us. Like, for instance, the people from Sacramento would come to San Francisco to see shows, and we would go out to Sacramento or Santa Cruz
Right.
And the people from Modesto would come, and the people from Fresno would come out to Berkeley, and we would do all this exchange, and we just kind of built this like regional network, you know, and I think it was out of a desire for folks to want to learn from each other, to see what you were doing in Fresno was it the same as what we were doing in San Jose, and I always liked that. I liked building a big old comunidad all around the state, you know. And right. We stuck together for a good, like, you know, 5 years.
Yeah,
it was tight.
Yeah, yeah, and it felt too like every region had its own distinct voice and style and interests, right? Everybody had their own interests. What was going on in San Diego was different than what was happening in Fresno versus what was happening in San Francisco.
Yeah, I remember that, you know, some groups musically were influenced differently. And that was like, you know, the taco shops were very like jazz, and then Grito was very like, you know, Chicano rock.
Right.
And Delicados were more like Cuban, you know, and people had all the different influences of what their scene was like, you know.
Right.
I kind of dug that. Like if you listen to the poets that would like talk about what was happening in San Jose, it was, you know, police harassment of Chicanos, right? And then you listen to two folks talk about the Central Valley and what they were facing in the Central Valley in their poems, right? And I thought that was dope. Like we could learn from each other. And then we could also say that we knew people from those regions that could help inform us. And then we could create collaborations. And then you do cross-regional works together. So we ended up working with the Rudos,
yep.
Collaborating with them, being out in Reno. Wow. Pat Payne came up with Taco Shop, and then she joined Delicados.
Yeah.
So we worked with you so many times out in Big Fresnales, and you got bare feet out there in the park, you know, doing the shows with no shoes on outside. That was definitely a Tim move too. Like taking your, you know, that's like get your shoes off. You and Darren always had to be close to the earth because it was hot where you were from. It's hot.
Yep.
You know.
But listen, guys, we're actually got to close. We're running out of time here, but I want to ask you, because I know this is the 25th anniversary of Los Delicados, and you all are planning something big towards the end of this year. Can you give us a little tease about what that's going to be about, what you're looking to do there?
I think Darren wanted to move forward on a 25th anniversary show or presentation. And so we just started kind of like throwing it out there. What could we do? And then what we're basically going to do is turn the 25th anniversary into a Floricanto. We're going to invite groups from all over the state to perform with us. Hopefully Tim Hernandez comes through. Tim
Equis. You know I'll come through.
Juan Felipe, hopefully. Margarita Luna Robles. We've already got a bunch of people that agreed to present. So look for that in November.
Sounds good. We'll do that. I know you're busy out there, Paul, in New York City, you know, doing big things. So I appreciate you taking the time to jump in on the line with us. All right.
All right, brothers.
All right, Darren. Thanks for so much for having coming on the show, man. And, you know, we're going to definitely let the listeners know that we're going to be playing that track Presente, the full track, on our podcast on Apple iTunes or on Spotify. So you can catch that off of the album. What's the album called?
It's called Word Descarga, and it's on Calaca Press, which is now defunct, but you can also find, you can find us on the Apple Tunes and Spotify and Amazon. Yeah, I'm just Los Delicados. You're gonna find a group from Mexico, but that's not us. You look for the ones that look like crazy hippies from San Francisco, that's us.
Right on. Thank you so much, Darren, for being on the show, man. And we'll be in touch, all right?
Thank you.
Good luck with everything.